I want to just say a brief word about West Coast Baptist College and what a blessing Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College have been in my life. And I thank the Lord for this school. You know, being a pastor of a local church, you pastors will understand this. Kids make many different college choices. And you try to counsel and help them with those choices. And we have kids that have chosen to go to many different colleges down through the years. And it seems as if when we give counsel to young people about college, often we're saying, well, if that's where you believe God's leading you to go, then you have my support. But I want you to be careful about this. I want you to guard this. And I'm so glad that when it comes to West Coast Baptist College, I can say I can give you my unreserved stamp of approval. Very few places in life you can give that. Unreservedly, I can stand behind West Coast Baptist College. I pray that would always be the case here at this place. Acts chapter 20, and let's look at three verses just for now, and then we'll come back and look at several others here in just a bit, all the way down at verse 36. Acts chapter 20, and then all the way down at verse 36. The Bible says, "And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship." Using these verses and several others, I'd like to preach a message tonight entitled, "A Good Goodbye." A good goodbye. Our Father, tonight we're asking that you would help us in these moments. Lord, my desire is to be a blessing to Lancaster Baptist Church and to be a blessing to these graduates. Lord, I pray that you would help me to rightly divide your word tonight. I pray that you would use your word to encourage us. I pray that as we see the principles unfold in front of us, that we would not be merely hearers of the word. But Lord, tonight, give us courage, give us grace to be doers of the word. Lord, I pray that in these moments that we spend together, and then tomorrow as we celebrate this graduation time, I pray that in every sense, this departure of these graduates would be a good goodbye. Lord, bless this service tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and thank you so much for standing. Life is full of goodbyes. It's full of times when we walk with people for a season. Have you noticed that? We go through the various stages of life, and God brings certain people across our path. And not just across our path, but on our path. And we walk for a space of time with them. And then our paths diverge, and we don't see each other anymore. Sometimes never seeing each other again for a lifetime. And we have to say goodbye at those junctures in our life. Sometimes in life, we're faced with prospects of saying goodbye, and it's not a good goodbye. When I was 3 years of age, my dad left our home. And what a sad thing that is when homes break up. And that's never a good goodbye when a father walks out the door on children. Some of you come from, sadly, a divorce situation like I did, and where a husband and a wife get to the place in their marriage where they say goodbye to each other. That's never a good goodbye. And life is filled with times when there's not a good goodbye. Pastors, we know of situations where people get upset about ridiculous things. And they leave a church for carnal reasons. And that's not a good goodbye. But there are some examples in the Bible where people, because of the will of God, because of something that God was doing, separated their paths. That's what happens here in Acts chapter 20. The Apostle Paul has spent 3 years with the Ephesians at some time in the past. And now he's stopping at a port city called Miletus. And he calls the Ephesian elders, the leaders of that church, and calls them to come and spend some time with him. He's on his way toward Jerusalem, and time is of the essence. And the Apostle Paul spends some time with them, realizing that this might be the last time he'll ever see these men. Realizing that this might be the last time they're ever able to enjoy fellowship. The Apostle Paul says some things to them, gives them a final charge, if you will. And then at the end of that little sermon that the Apostle Paul gives them, they hug each other. And back in that custom, and kiss each other and cry, realizing that they'll probably never see each other again. Now, I pray that that wouldn't be the case with the graduates of West Coast Baptist College. We live in an age of travel. I mean, this very morning or whatever it was, last night, I was in Australia. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing in our day and age how we can travel across continents and across the country. And we pray that that graduates and church members here at Lancaster Baptist Church will have an ongoing relationship at times like youth conference and times like leadership conference and times when maybe you're traveling, you'll be able to see each other again. But let's face facts. This may be the last time that you'll see some of the graduates that sit behind me. This might be it. Some might go off to the foreign mission field. Some might labor in places where it'll be impossible for them ever again to travel all the way to California. This may be the last couple of days that you'll ever see these graduates that sit behind me. Let's bid them a good goodbye. Let's look at what the Bible says about how people can labor together in a good and godly way and how that goodbye can be a good goodbye. You've got your Bible open there to Acts chapter 20. Would you notice back at verse 17, please? As Paul gave them a good goodbye, would you notice, first of all, that he surveyed his experiences with them? Look at verse 17. The Bible says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know that from the first day," notice how he initially there refers to time, "from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." He refers to time, when I first came, and at all seasons that I've been with you. In verse 31, he says, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." What's Paul doing? Paul, in bidding them goodbye, is surveying his experiences with them. He's going down memory lane and saying, we've shared some time together. And in surveying these experiences, I think, first of all, he referenced their time together. He referenced their time together. Think about it. For 3 years, they had labored day by day as he taught there at the school of Tyrannus, as he taught in the synagogue, as they went through various trials and tribulations together. The Apostle Paul said, I'm remembering now in my mind's eye all that we did together over this 3-year period of time. 3 years is a significant number in the Bible. Jesus trained his disciples for 3 years. Paul, when he was trained for ministry, went to the backside of the desert there for 3 years. There's something about that 3 years. I know what the graduates are thinking right now. They're thinking, well, 3 years, I've been here 4 years. Yeah, but you're not nearly as smart as the Apostle Paul or the disciples. It took you an extra year. He's referencing their time together. And when we spend time with each other, we're spending life with each other. When the Bible defines life there in James chapter 4, it defines life in terms of time. And when you give people your time, you give them their lives. Graduates always understand that these people at Lancaster Baptist Church, they've given you their lives. They've given you their time, and you've given them your life. You've journeyed down this path together for these 3 years, and now your roads are separating. But for this time, you spent time together. I got to thinking about that 4 years or 5-year period of time. Really, that's about 10% almost of your adult ministry life that you've spent with the members of Lancaster Baptist Church. What a wonderful thing. Your ministry has been shaped in some part by these church members as you've watched them serve, as you've watched them labor, as you've watched them humbly serve the Lord God. You have labored with them. They've labored with you. You've spent time together. The Apostle Paul is surveying his experiences with them. He references their time together, but then he remembers the tears and the temptations. Look at verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying and the weight of the Jews. And so not only did he reference their time together, but he remembered the tears and the temptations. You know, there's a certain bond that's formed when you go through trials together. And that's what's happened. It's inevitable. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward, the Bible says. And for these past 3 years, oh, you've enjoyed the joys and you've seen the wonderful things that have happened, but you've also shared life together. Graduates, you've shared life together with dorm students as you've prayed for each other, each other's parents. In some cases, some graduates have lost a mom or a dad or a grandparent to cancer, and you've shared that experience. And the church family, as you've come on a Wednesday night and you've become inextricably linked with this church as you've prayed for people in the hospital and prayed for people going through trials. And as we share trials together, as we share the temptations and tears of life together, there's a bond that's formed, and you'll have a relationship with Lancaster Baptist Church that a few others will have because you've been here for these 3 years. He referenced their time together. He remembered the tears and the temptations. And then he recalled the teaching and the training. Notice verse 20, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I've showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 26 when he said, I take it a record this day that I'm pure from the blood of all men. I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. The Apostle Paul, as he surveys his experience with these people, with these elders, he said, listen, we spent some time together. We went through some trials together. But really, the primary glue of our relationship was the fact that I trained you and I taught you to do what was right. Let's face it, graduates, that's the glue. That's why you're here. Oh, you might have picked up a wife along the way. That's always a good thing. But the reason why you came to West Coast Baptist College is to get trained, to get taught for the ministry. And that's what's happened. That didn't just happen in the classroom, Lancaster Baptist Church. That happened as they watched you and watched your faithfulness and watched your labor of love. And they've been watching these 3 years, these 4 years, these 5 years as you've been training and teaching them in the ministry. That's a wonderful thing. You can say goodbye with a clear conscience when you know that you've spent time investing in a person's life and now they're ready, like that fledgling, to get out of the nest and to fly on their own. You've taught them. You've trained them. Not all that teaching and training has been easy. You've had to go through Brother Houck's Doctrines 4 class. You've had to take Daniel and Revelation and other horrible events that have taken place here. But they're good for you. They're good for you. A teaching and training. It's happened not only in the classroom, it's happened in the church room. And there's been this time of teaching and training as Paul surveys his experiences with them. But not only did he survey his experiences with them, notice with me that he set an example to them. Look at verse 22, please, of our text. He set an example to them. The Bible says, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. What I find interesting here is in most goodbyes, it's the trainees that are leaving the trainer. For instance, tomorrow we're going to have graduation. These graduates, they're going to go to their respective ministries. They're going to go across the country, across the world, having been trained here. But in the Bible days, it was the leader that left. And his name was Paul. Just saying, okay? But anyway, just saying. But here's what the leader said. The leader said, I don't know about you. I'm not going to be here to watch over you. I'm not going to be here to babysit you, but let me tell you what I'm going to do. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. Sometimes we get the idea, well, we've been trained, we've been taught for ministry, we're going to go out. But you know what Lancaster Baptist Church is going to do? They're going to keep on going on. They're going to keep on training people. They're going to keep on serving God. The Apostle Paul said, I'm going to follow Christ. Notice what he says in verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Hey, I'm going to follow the Spirit's leading my life. I'm going to follow Christ. Verse 23, save the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Hey, I'm going to be faithful in conflict. I'm going to follow Christ regardless of where that leads. And if that leads to a place of bondage, if that leads to a place of affliction, I'm still going to follow Jesus Christ. I'm going to be faithful. Not only am I going to follow Christ, not only am I going to be faithful in conflict, but I'm going to finish my course. Notice what it says in verse 24. None of these things move me. I think, Pastor Norris, you preached a message on this very verse. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You know what Paul said? You know what Paul's driving motivation was? I want to finish strong. Amen. I want to finish. I'm halfway done. And by the way, a graduation, you say, well, I'm finished now. You're not finished now. You've not even begun yet. Hey, you finished one little stage of the race, but listen, that doesn't mean you can't be disqualified later on. Listen, keep on keeping on. Our goal in life is to finish that course. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man could work. But then in John 17, he said, I've finished the work which you gave me to do, Father. And the Apostle Paul said here in Acts 20, I want to finish my course with joy. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, I have finished my course. And that ought to be our testimony. Lancaster Baptist Church, graduates of West Coast Baptist College, that we are going to finish for the Lord. Amen. He set an example. What a great example. It's a wonderful thing to come back year by year to a place like Leadership Conference and see the people that trained you, the people that love you, the people that sat in the pews with you, and to see that they're continuing to be faithful to God. Your training of these graduates does not end. Your faithfulness, your finishing is imperative. You're setting an example for these young graduates. He surveyed his experiences with them. He set an example for them. He stated his expectations for them. Would you notice, please, verse 28 of our text? He stated his expectations for them. The Apostle Paul said in verse 28, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." The Apostle Paul said, "I may never see you again, and so I want to give you a final charge. I want to tell you that you're accountable. You're responsible for some things. And first of all, I think they were responsible to dedicate themselves to the work. Dedicate yourselves to the work. That's why you've been trained, graduates. That's why you've been taught, graduates, because there's a work for you to do. There's a place for you to go. There are people for that you're supposed to serve. And you're to dedicate yourself to them." Notice what it says there in verse 28. "And to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God." He's speaking to the pastors here. They're called elders in verse 17. Here they're called overseers in verse 28. They're told to feed. All three words that describe the pastoral office. The idea of pastor, feeding. The idea of a bishop, overseeing. The idea of elder being that counselor, that older brother image. All three, listen, feed God's people, help God's people. You say, "Well, Pastor Skelly, I'm not a graduate that's going out to be a pastor." Yeah, but you're going out to help a pastor. You're a pastor or you're helping a pastor. And the ministry is all about people. The ministry is all about people. It's not about the strategy. It's not about the methodology. That's good in its place. But our aim is people. And he's saying, dedicate yourself to that work. But not only are they to dedicate themselves to the work, notice that they are to defend themselves, defend against the wolves. Would you notice verse 29 of our text? He said, "I know this." That's strong language. The Apostle Paul said, I can't make many predictions about your future, but I can make one prediction. I can't tell you many things about your future ministry, graduates. I don't know necessarily where you're going to serve. I don't know necessarily what capacity, the capacity in which you'll serve. But I know one thing," said the Apostle Paul, "said, I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Understand that there's a special battle ahead, graduates. Why? Because there's a separation from the safe place. The Apostle Paul said, "I'm leaving," but you're leaving now. You're leaving a safe place. You're living a safe place, a place that has thought through proper barriers, a place that's thought through. You have brave men of God that have stood for God, and you're going, now you have to be those standard bearers. Now you have to be the barrier setters. Now you've got to be the one that's brave for the Lord. You better stand for God, because the wolves are going to come in and see how strong you really are. It's going to happen. It's not if it'll happen, it will happen. And you better, we're going to find out what you're made of. Not because you got a good grade on the last test. Not because you graduated summa cum laude. We're going to find out who you are in about 6 months. In about 6 years. Why? Because the wolves are coming. Right. Defend against those wolves. Dedicate yourself to the work. Hey, discern your own weakness. Look at verse 30. "Also of your own selves shall men arise." That's a sad thing to think about. It's a sad thing to think in this wonderful group sitting behind us that maybe even some of these men and women will step out of the way. I pray, God, it may not be true. Our prayer is the prayer of Christ. All that the Father has given me, we have not lost a one. That's our prayer. But to be realistic, we understand that some will turn from the faith. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. I now tell you, even weeping, they're the enemies of the cross of Christ. Those who have served alongside the Apostle Paul. It's possible to be raised in a good godly home as these parents stood a moment ago, and to be in good godly churches like those represented by the pastors that stood a moment ago, and to come to a great place like this to be trained and to still turn. Discern that. Always have the humility of the disciples when they said, "Is it I? Is it I?" We're all one step away from turning from the Lord or turning from what's right. And we need to stay faithful. Discern your own weakness. I said the Apostle Paul surveyed his experiences with them. He set an example for them. He stated his expectations for them. But notice with me lastly tonight, he shared an exhortation with them. And I love this. He doesn't leave them with this expectation. He exhorts them. And notice what he says in verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. And to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I find it interesting what the Apostle Paul was writing his last letter to Timothy. He made much of the Word of God. Timothy, I'm not going to be here, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach that word. Preach the word. Hey, listen, the Apostle Paul made much about the Word of God. Why? Because you're not always going to have an Apostle Paul. You're not always going to have a West Coast Baptist College. You're not always going to have a preacher that helps you and counsels you. Now you're the ones that are leading. You're the ones that are standing. You always have a Bible. The Apostle Paul said, I want to point you to the God of the Bible. Hey, he's the one that's able to give you grace. He's the one that's able to build you up. He's the one that's able to set you apart. It's all about God. He points them to God. Notice verse 33. I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yeah, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I've showed you all things, how that so laboring, in other words, laboring like me, you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. How did the Apostle Paul exhort these Ephesian elders? He pointed them to God. I think number two, he prodded them to give. He said, listen, I want your life to be characterized by giving to others. Ours is a life of giving, graduates. That's why you came here. That's why you leave here. You give. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your body a living sacrifice. You spend and are spent for others. This isn't about money. This isn't about positions or plaudits. This is about you serving Christ and your life being about giving to people. Amen. And when you become enmeshed in the minutiae of ministry and become mired in all of the inevitable problems that will come, would you please keep these guiding principles in mind? I've got a Bible that can build me up, and I've got a life principle that when I don't know what else to do, why don't you just give to somebody? Why don't you just serve somebody and see how God will bless your life? It's not hard. We make it hard. He pointed them to God. He prodded them to give. But I like this. I believe he prayed for them to grow. Would you notice verse 36, please, of our text? The Bible says, and when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. Say, Pastor Skelly, how do you know he prayed for them to grow? Well, I don't know what he prayed about. But maybe the Apostle Paul prayed this. Can I read you something that he wrote them in a book that we call Ephesians? Here's what he said. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I don't know that that's what the Apostle Paul prayed with them that day, but that's the prayer that he recorded for them when he wrote them the book of Ephesians. And I can tell you this, graduates, on behalf of Lancaster Baptist Church, on behalf of Pastor Paul Chapel, on behalf of Brother Getch and Brother Rasmussen, the staff and faculty of the college, on behalf of all these fine people, I can tell you this, graduates, they'll be praying for you. They'll be praying for you to continue to grow, to stand fast, to know Christ, to experience the fullness that he can give you in his life, to do something great for God. Would you do that? Would you leave this place? Would you stay humble? Would you stay in this book? Would you live a life of giving? And would you bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ with your lives? Amen. Would you do that? Listen, I challenge you. I challenge you to do that. In Lancaster Baptist Church, I challenge you. You've been given a rare opportunity to be a part of training the leaders of a generation. That is awesome. I challenge you, Lancaster Baptist Church, step it up. Be an example. Pray for these graduates. Be used of God, and God will bless you for it. Our Father, thank you for giving us this wonderful night. Thank you, Lord, for these that have listened so attentively to a very simple message from your word. And Lord, we will sorrow. There will be tears, hugs, and crying, and goodbyes. But Father, I pray that the goodbyes of tonight, the goodbyes of tomorrow, will be good goodbyes. As we think of the co-laboring that has taken place. And Father, as we anticipate a future of following and honoring the Lord Jesus Christ.